please sit. Thank you. And should we pray? It's always good to pray before we're here. God will open up our eyes and our hearts to receive what he wants to say to us individually. Father God, we thank you for this account in Scripture that you have recorded for our learning, for our understanding. Please reveal to us all that you want to show us today, that we will be built up in Christ and continue to follow him in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. When Christmas approaches or a birthday is on the near horizon, sometimes family members ask, "What do you want?" In my case, I never know. I never know. And if it's my grown-up children, I reply, "Nothing, thanks. I've got everything I need." Actually, I received a text this morning from my daughter. "What do you want for your birthday, Dad?" I've not replied yet. Well, anyway. In our gospel reading, Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho. Now, nothing is mentioned of what happened in that town, but as they were leaving with a large crowd, something very dramatic happened. You see, a blind man called Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside begging. I think it's significant that we know his name, because very, very few people who Jesus healed, all the countless thousands, no doubt, that he healed, we don't know their names. But we do know the name of this man in this account, Bartimaeus. It might not mean very much to us. Why should it be mentioned? But I'm sure it means something, perhaps, to God. It means something to God in order for him to have it recorded in Scripture. Maybe Bartimaeus became a really fervent follower of Jesus Christ. We don't know. There's lots of things we don't know. But it's nice sometimes to try and imagine. I wonder why. It's good to ask questions. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, he called out loudly, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." The title Son of David is a messianic title. It was a promise in Old Testament scripture that the Messiah, the Christ, would come, would be of the seed of David. And so whenever we hear of the phrase, the Son of David, Jesus, the Son of David in scripture, it accords to him a messianic title. Bartimaeus was crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." Well, what he must have heard about Jesus was enough for him to persist. To persist. Calling out, even though others scolded him, told him to be quiet, told him to be shut up. As a blind beggar with a dreary life, dependent on others, a chance to meet Jesus was his only hope. At missionary training college, Christine and I met this woman who was very much involved with guide dogs for the blind. And she said that she experienced a day in Birmingham where she was blindfolded for a full day, trying to capture the experience of somebody blind. And she said it was scary, going out on the streets, blindfolded, dependent on her ears and somebody presumably accompanying her. But nevertheless, scary. Jesus was Bartimaeus' only hope. So he kept calling out. However, there were those who told him to be quiet. Shut up, be quiet. They weren't interested in Bartimaeus' plight. They were just interested perhaps in seeing what was Jesus going to do next. There are some people who want to see the sensation. rather than to derive from it the implications of what Jesus was doing and who Jesus was and what he meant to them. So they were scolding him. I want to say this, that in this world there are many people who try to discourage others from believing in God and getting to know Jesus. These days it seems to be on the increase. Britain is fastly becoming a secular nation, and we need to be aware of that. There are cynics everywhere, in schools, colleges, universities. I remember talking to somebody who works for the diocese, and she said, "Do you know, my son's come home from school, and he said, I don't believe in school and in God anymore. My science teacher been very, very derogatory about anyone who believes in God." I think it's a terrible thing for a teacher to do. He may have his own opinions, but not to discourage somebody else. However, this woman said to me, she said, "Ironically, my husband is a physicist." But you see, what teachers say counts an awful lot. Caps an awful lot. So there are these skeptics, these cynics in colleges, universities, in the workplace, in your neighbourhood, and it's all very, very, very sad. These people are not content just to hold their own private personal view in that, "I don't believe in God." "You believe in God?" "I don't." Leave it at that. They're not satisfied with that. Many of them seem to have a mission to tell others not to believe in God, that science is the answer to mankind's needs and everything else. However, you've only got to read your newspapers, turn the news on television, and we know that science does not have the answers to the basic human need. There are people out there who try to discourage others from coming to know Jesus Christ. And that's why it's so important to pray for your family, for your children, for your grandchildren, that their ears will be shut to these kind of messages and they will recognize them for what they are. Whereas we should do our best to encourage others to search and look for God, we should do our best to do that. When we see people, we should look through the eyes of Jesus Christ. Looking at our neighbours, family members or whoever and saying, "Do they really know Jesus? Do they know him? Do they know who he is, the saviour of the world? I'd really like them to come to know what I know." We should look for ways to try to help people come through to a faith in Jesus, to a faith in Jesus Christ, understand what he did and achieved on the cross. They might not be physically blind like Bartimaeus, but most people in this country are spiritually blind. G.K. Chesterton, one of the greatest intellectuals that this country's ever produced, said this: "When people cease to believe in God, they don't believe in nothing. They're believing anything. Anything. Aliens, anything you like. The supernatural. But they won't want to believe in God. Spiritually blind." John Newton, whose hymn we've just been singing, I didn't know we were going to be singing this today, declared in his hymn, "Amazing Grace," "Once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was blind, but now I see." You know, sometimes we use this expression, the penny's dropped. You know, when you were at school, you couldn't understand that little mathematical process, long division. A lot of young people can't now, can they? They just haven't got it. Unless they've got the calculator there or the phone, they can't do it. Remember, yes, now I get it. The penny's dropped. It's the same with God. We need to pray that the penny drops. It's so crucial that we pray for others off and on throughout the day. When people come to your mind, just say a prayer. Might be one sentence, might be two sentences. Be persistent. Keep on praying. Well, amongst all the din of this crowd, Bartimaeus calling out, Jesus stopped because he heard. And he knew that Bartimaeus was calling out. Jesus recognized a sincere cry for help. And I want to tell you this, Jesus still does. Jesus still recognizes a sincere cry for help. Jesus knows the human heart. He knows whether it's sincere or whether it's just superficial. Bartimaeus' persistence demonstrated faith. He wasn't going to give up. He kept calling out. In spite of the opposition, he persisted. But that persistence demonstrated a sign of faith. You know, it's so often for us, we pray for others, don't we? Most of the answers to our prayers comes after a long haul. Not a short haul, but a long haul. We need to be persistent, praying continually, in order for us to get the result. Jesus heard Bartimaeus and said, call him. Call him. I want you to note from this that Jesus uses others to call people to him. Jesus uses other people, uses people to call them to him. He works in partnership with his followers. Jesus works in partnership with his followers, his disciples, you and me. There are some things I know that God does without us. God's amazing initiative. God does do things without us. But in the main, usually, he works and only works in partnership with us. And if we don't do it, if we don't work in partnership with God, that fruit, that result will not occur. We're called to be in partnership with him in building the kingdom of God. Through gossiping the gospel, we call it evangelism, don't we? But it's gossiping the gospel in our quiet witness, through prayer, ministry, teaching, telling others, explaining to others, showing care and compassion. Jesus works in partnership with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, some of the others, not the cynics, some of them said to Bartimaeus, cheer up, he's calling you. He's calling you. When Jesus calls someone, they have every reason to be cheerful. That was true of Bartimaeus. Not wanting any hindrances, he threw off his cloak, jumped up, and came to Jesus. What stops a lot of people from coming to Jesus, know Jesus Christ, is there's so many hindrances in their life, so many things that are pulling them down, so many distractions. Bartimaeus got rid of his cloak, jumped up, and came to Jesus. We need to pray intelligently and pray for the hindrances of others that prevent them knowing Jesus to be cast to one side, so that they do recognize who Jesus is and respond to him. Well, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. You can imagine the excitement. The adrenaline must have been very visible on his face. Also, Scripture doesn't really tell us much about Jesus' expressions either, does it? We know his words, but we don't know his face, his countenance. But Jesus must have had a warm smile on his face too. knowing that salvation was about to take place in this man's life as well as healing. Helping and healing people gave Jesus great pleasure. Don't think for one minute that he did it. It's just as a matter of fact. Oh, here's another one who wants healing. Oh, there's another 10. There's another 100. No, he didn't. He did it with love and warmth, desire and compassion. He did it with great joy. In fact, Scripture tells us the angels in heaven have great joy over every sinner that comes to repentance in him. Even the angels rejoice and cry out and shout out, hooray! That should be true for us too. You know, it can be hard work at times, very hard work serving Jesus Christ, being his witnesses for him. But nevertheless, it should be pleasurable and fulfilling. Curiously, Jesus asked Bartimaeus a question. What do you want? What do you want? Which takes me back to my original point at the beginning, my introduction. What do you want? Now that question seems a purely rhetorical question, doesn't it? It was obvious to all on Sunday what Bartimaeus wanted. But Jesus said, what do you want? What do you want? You see, Jesus always looks beyond the apparent because he sees the human heart. He sees the human heart. Also, he sees your heart and he sees my heart too. If Jesus asked you, what do you want? What would you say? Hand on heart, what would you say? Well, apart from good health, that's very important, isn't it? A roof over your head, food on the table, children perhaps settled in and doing well. What do you want? And I think the answer to that question can often define who we are, where we're coming from, our perspective on life. Our answer to that question usually defines that, where we're coming from, our view of life. Well, if you're a Christian and consider yourself as a follower of Jesus Christ, then his words, his teaching should be paramount in your life. If we extract a couple of sentences from the Lord's Prayer, a response to that question could be, your kingdom come. And we could fill the answer in a little bit by saying, your kingdom come in my nation, O Lord. That's what I want. Your kingdom to come in my nation. Well, in these days of political turmoil, roller coaster, Brexit, etc., etc., we should be praying. Whatever your position on Brexit, we should nevertheless be praying for the government to come up with the right solution. Your kingdom come in our nation. And the other thing would be, your will be done. Your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. You see, the Lord has a plan and purpose for each and every one of us that he designates particularly for you, not for somebody else who you're sitting next to perhaps, but a particular plan and purpose for you. The trick is knowing what he wants us to do, knowing what he wants us to do. I've been retired 15 months now, well, semi-retired, so I'm told. But I'm looking to what God wants me to do. Don't think that when you retire, that's it. Sit back in your rocking chair. If you're a Christian, you're always a servant and a follower of Jesus Christ. What does he want you to do? What does he want you to do? We were never meant to do our own thing, but we're meant to do the Lord's thing. We're not meant to do our own thing. We're meant to do the Lord's thing. That's why I dislike Frank Sinatra's song, I Did It My Way. Sometimes at the crematorium, you're there early, you're in for the last bit of the sermon that's just of the service that's just ending. And I often hear Frank Sinatra's being played, I Did It My Way. No, I dislike it. When you get to the end of the life, don't hope you're going to say, I did it my way. I hope you can say, I did it God's way. I did it Jesus' way. There are general things that he wants us all to do. General things that apply to you and to everybody here. Acts of love and compassion, care and prayer. However, there are specific things for each of every one of us. So what do you want? What do you want? I sincerely hope it's fulfilling the Lord's plan for your life. I will ask for Bartimaeus. He not only received his sight, but he received salvation. He received redemption from Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. And in response, Scripture tells us he didn't walk off the other way, but he followed Jesus. He followed Jesus. May that be true for each and every one of us, that we follow Jesus. Amen.